I'd hear him say to us today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's in front of you. Just know that I'm with you. I'm your guide. You can trust me. You can trust me through all things. You can trust me to follow me, that I'll not lead you astray or lead you into places you cannot withstand. Do not fear. Your Father is with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Being so wonderful to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we look at ourselves first before we look at God, and we try to build a relationship with God by looking at our own battles, our own weaknesses. And always remember, when God looks at you, He looks at you from His eyes, not from your eyes. And so a father loves you because he's your father. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see everyone here today. Hope you're excited to be in church. We're going to have a great time. We're going to start with a baby dedication in just a moment. And that's, I think, one of the great, great things a church can do. It shows a couple of things, but it shows the importance of us looking to God to help us raise our kids. Amen? Amen. And it also can help you understand how God sees you. Yes. Say this with me. God is my Father. He loves me. Do you have to work for that love?
No.
No, of course you don't. He loves you because you're His. Yes. Now, we're going to start in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read in verse 6. We'll have the parents get ready. We're going to call the parents up one at a time with the families. I'll have the ministers join me in a few moments. And I figure it's best to start now. That way all the kids can be in here. And if you hear kids crying, just get over it. So chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thine heart and all thy soul and all with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and while thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And this is the heart of being a parent. I believe being a parent is the closest we have at learning who God is. I preach many times how I've learned more about God's love from my mama than I have from the pulpit, from people preaching. Because, you know, through the years you learn many different things about God from preachers, and some of it's true, some of it's not true. And all of us have been around some preaching that's not true and worked a way out of that. And I remember one preacher was so adamant that you had to be holy, that the way the message was, you can be in church today and give your tithe and give your offering and worship God. And if on the way home, some guy cuts you off and you have a really bad thought towards that person and you don't repent of it, you're going to go to hell if you die in a car wreck. And that put such a fear in me of trying to get God's approval, get God's love, instead of walking with Him. Amen? And I learned from my mama, and some of you have moms like me that are unconditional towards their love towards you. You're their favorite, no matter what. No matter how many preachers there are, I'm the best preacher in the world. And if she's in this church, you better amen that, or else she'll get you in the parking lot. And if I'm in prison, my mom will find something to be proud of. She will come and walk in front of all the prison guards who are making fun of me, all the people who abandoned me. My mom will never abandon me. She's proud of me. She'll say, my son, he is wanted in 20 states. She'll find some reason to be proud of me, you know. And so you'll learn this when you have children. You know, when you don't have children, you have theories about children. But when you give birth to a child, it's a whole different package, you know. There's a lot of people who've been trained in school about raising kids, have no idea about raising kids. Until you actually have a child and give birth to a child, do you realize you gave life to that child? That child never existed before you, and now you created a creature that's going to exist for the rest of eternity. And you only have a certain amount of years to influence them until they realize, well, wow, I can make my own choices. And so you want to pour into them as much as you can during that season, so that when they get to the place where they can make and start making their own choices, hallelujah, they're going to fall in love with God. Amen. In speaking this, I want to be clear. Sometimes you have to walk behind them as they make wrong choices, because they're making choices. I remember being a youth pastor, and parents would get so upset when their kid wasn't perfect. I'd watch them grab their child in worship and lift their hand up, say, "You worship God." And I found as a youth pastor that it wasn't the elders' kids who were the best that turned out the best. You know, because as a youth pastor, it's not when they're before they're 18. Once they turn 18 and start living life, they begin to make their own choices. And so you always assume the best kids came from the pastors and the elders, and that you later find out that 15 years later, who turned out good. And as a youth pastor, you'd be surprised, maybe, maybe not, that the ones who report back to me, now it's 30 years later, who are now pastors and ministers and serving God, not everyone, you don't have to be a minister or serve God, but these are men and women who are serving God, were the most dysfunctional kids when they were in the youth group, were the most mess. And yeah, Nathan, was that Nathan who lifted his hand back there and said amen? And because something in them drew them to God. And what I found as a pastor is the ones whose kids ended up really serving God were the ones who had parents involved with their lives. Now that, or the ones who had parents not involved in their lives. The ones who had parents who were overbearing in their lives ended up moving away from God. Partially because how does God handle you? And I'm going to make a whole sermon out of this today, but I'm not going to preach it all right now. But how does God handle you? Is he overbearing with you? Does he walk with you? Does he meet you where you're at and then lets you join your hand in his and walks with you on a pathway through this life? Is he a gentle God? Is he a passionate God for you? Does he love you? Is he compassionate for you? And so as parents, you know, one of the first things we have to decide is, I want my kid to experience a walk with God as special as I have. How do I equip my child in the season that I have them, because you only have them for so long. In the season that I have them, how do I equip my child to gain a relationship with God and a passion for God that I hopefully have in my life? Is that preaching good?
Yeah.
You know, you don't judge a parent by their children very often, but you can hope and pray that your child will succeed in following God. I know that. I look at my kids, and I got two good kids who are troublemakers a little bit, just how I like them. I pray every day that they experience the same type of adventure in their life with God that I have, where I've had to trust God and find God. But how many know that their path is different than my path? You know, they don't have the same parenting that I had when I was growing up. But they still have to find God the same way I did. And I want them to have a relationship with God from their heart. Not built on making their earthly father happy, but built on making their heavenly father happy. And I think that's the best thing we can give our kids, is experience, examples, and a pattern to where they can explore God in a safe way and also make mistakes in a safe way, knowing that even in your mistakes, he's there for you. Let's go over to Psalms, and we're going to read 127. Let's start in verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So children are a heritage, and they're like, if you have a bunch of them, you know, you should be happy. And there's a couple of reasons this is healthy for a church to have a program like this. Number one, for those of you who look at your children's history and you think you failed them, do you know that you're still there? You can pray for them. If you're grown children, I was raised in a heathen family full of heathens, professional heathens. And, you know, you can look back in your life and go, man, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. Maybe you have grandkids. Do you know that you as a grandparent can change the history of your whole family? And it's not just from being a mouth and speaking in their life, being in correcting them, or, you know, because once a kid becomes of age and learns that they can make their own decisions in life, the only voice you have in your life is what they want to hear. And so you may not have a voice in their life today, but you have a voice into heaven. And you have authority through the Spirit, through prayer, to bring influence and change into every person in your family history. So part of why this is important is today is not just for who's about to get dedicated, but it's for all of us here who have a history of family. And when you deal with people's wills, it's much different than dealing with an object. You know, you need your bills paid. Father, I thank you for $1,000 this month in Jesus' name. Amen of faith. But when you're dealing with someone serving God and living for God, you're dealing with the will of a person. And that takes a much better artist to work on than you. You're not skilled enough. But how many know the Holy Ghost is skilled enough? You know, I have sisters who I pray for on a regular basis. They have not been happy for years because they find no more happiness in the world and the worldly stuff. They can have all their friends having a good time around them and they're miserable. And I won't tell them it's because their little brother is praying for them to find God, that they won't find happiness until they find Jesus. Amen. So you may have a family history you may not be proud of, or maybe your kids didn't turn out like you wish they did, but don't give up. You're still here. You have authority right now to continue to pray for them, not just for them, but even, I believe, after you leave this earth, God will use your authority of your prayers while on this earth to minister to families for generations to come. And so keep standing, keep praying. Don't let guilt take you into discouragement. Take the encouragement that I may have not been the best parent when I was young. Maybe I didn't know God, or maybe I didn't know enough, or wasn't fixed enough. But bless God, I know enough of God now that I can influence the history of my family by my prayers. And even if I don't get credit here on this earth, when they get to heaven, they're going to give me a big hug, because the angels will show them where grandma prayed for them, mama prayed for them. Even while you were rejecting grandma, she was still praying for you. And because of that prayer, God was able to touch you. Amen to that. The other thing this is important for today is for those of you who have desired to have children. And the Bible talks about women who are barren, who are able to give birth, that is a prayer that God wants to answer and has answered through Christ. Amen. And I don't want any guilt for this if you've been trying to get pregnant and haven't been able to. You know, today's the day to take a stand of faith. Now, let's be clear. I know some women who have tried and miscarried and tried and carry a great guilt on their shoulders in the pathway of being a mom or a parent. And some even went to adoption, and I have so much pride in that, that they would take that step and not give up on their heart to be a mom or a dad. There's no condemnation in this. And don't you dare compare yourself one to another. We believe for the miracle power of God, for the ability to give birth. Some people have a bigger fight than others for that to happen, but we still stand by the word. Amen? But there's no guilt in this. There's no shame in this. If you're trying to get pregnant, we're going to pray today that that will come to pass. If you are past that time and whatever, no guilt. I don't want any guilt or shame in anyone in today's sermon. Because every time we talk about how it could be, every one of us in some area goes, how we didn't. And that's not the purpose of the word, to tell you how you didn't. The purpose of the word is to tell us what could be. And when it comes to babies, families, there's only a certain amount of your life that you are able to do that. And if you're past that time and your kids are already grown and you think, oh, I messed up on my kids, this isn't time to be guilty about it. This is a time to rejoice and say, those families that are coming up to dedicate their kids, bless God, we're going to succeed, and I'm going to still succeed. See, and if you're at past the time where you wanted to have children and you can't, this is the time for you to start feeling guilty, like, I wish I would have, I wish I could have, I would. That's no way to live the gospel. The way we live the gospel is we believe for the word of God to be truth, and we believe till we get there, but we don't condemn ourselves and lock ourselves into guilt and shame for our past. Amen. That was a good amen right there. So we have arrows that we want to send off. Now, in this verse, I've seen all kinds of different parenting. Now, let's be clear. You're going to be the best parent you can be. Talking to the parents right now, I'm not expecting anyone to compare yourself to the next, because your kid needs you to be you. They need to learn from you how you found God, how you follow God on a regular basis. Kids soon learn, once they get to a certain age, when they're really tiny, you can tell them all kinds of things and they'll believe you. But eventually, kids know if you're being authentic or if you're not being authentic. You know, so if you come to church acting one way, but at home you're acting a different way, your kids will soon figure that out. And so it's best to be the same way wherever you are. And so in training your kids up, there's a part where you can follow tradition. Like, what do I do if my kid does this? Okay, there's a part where you can follow someone else's advice. But then there comes a place where you just have to be you and be on a path of following God and do your best to pour that same heart into your children. Because our kids, we want them to grow up to the place where God begins to lead them instead of you. We sent Harrison, Christy went with Harrison on a mission trip for his school. They went to Phoenix this year and they spent a week. And I wanted to make sure that his experience wasn't a spiritual experience so much as we're going there and we're going to pray and we're going to preach. I wanted him to get his hands dirty. And it was an experience of feeding the poor, an experience of witnessing out on streets with the signs. And they lived in a drug addict place for a week and ministered to people or were ministered to by them. Harrison came back for years. I'd say, are you going to be a preacher like Dad? And he'd say, no. I'm like, well, you going to be a minister like your daddy? Nope. He came back saying, I think I'm called to worship. See, he got that on his own, experiencing with God. Now, if God tells him that, it's going to stick with him. And as a parent, there's nothing more pleasing than watching him grow with his relationship with God. And same as my daughter, and I'm sure all you parents are thinking the same. 10 years ago when he was two, he was a little sinner, unsaved yet, but still going to heaven. You know, babies who perish young, they go to heaven, we know that, but you know, he wasn't born again yet. He hadn't experienced that yet. And I found for my kids, and I think I'm trying to say it this way, what I found with my kids is they learn better from other people than they learn from listening to Dad. Okay, probably because they have to listen to me preach all the time. But they still learn from watching. It's amazing what they learn when you don't think they're listening. But Harrison and Ava both have been born again. And when that moment happened, I stopped being their father. I became their brother, officially. But we don't tell them that. But God became their father the moment they were born again. Amen? So now they belong to him more than they belong to me. So it's my job not to rule over them, and I'm preaching my principles of parenting, and trying to make them perfect. It's my job to help them to discover how to walk through life and to find God so that when they have the power to make their own decisions, they will continue doing that the rest of their life. So today is a day of dedicating more to the parents and the families and to the church than it is to the children, because the children have no idea what we're doing today. The babies don't, anyway. We are dedicating them to God. How many know that God already has a plan for your child? Already. Some of you were raised without Christian parents. How many here were raised without Christian parents? But you still found God, didn't you? So God had a plan for you, even though you were born to unsaved parents and raised by unsaved parents. God still found you. You still found God. In the mother's womb, he begins to put a call on every child, and he waits until the day they find him and are born of him. And then he takes the reins and says, come follow me. So our job is of dedicating as a church is to say, we're behind the parents, because not all parents are the same. Some of the parents I thought were the best parents, the most holy parents, the perfect parents in church, ended up with the most rebellious kids. And then I looked at kids who came to youth group with no parents, no support. One kid came and got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the parents put a lawsuit against the church saying, we don't want our kid coming to church anymore, because they didn't like that he got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Teenager. What do I tell as a pastor? What do I tell this child when he's telling me my parents won't let me come to church anymore? 16 years old. What do I tell him? I say, all I can tell you is you have enough of God in you right now that if you don't quit, he'll lead you the rest of your life. Keep seeking after him. You don't have to make a stand against your parents in that manner at this time. You don't have to make this a fight. Your parents made this a fight. You don't have to be in the middle of this fight. But those kind of kids that I found, the kids who came who were just off of Satanism. One young man, he was, and this may add hope to some of you, he came in at 18 years old, and he was a gatherer for a satanic cult. His job was to gather people. So my first instinct was to make sure he wasn't there to gather my people, you know. And he'd already gone through a ritual of drinking blood and doing all kinds of crazy things. And today he's a pastor that travels around the world doing mission trips and pastors of a church. And he was 18, totally on drugs, dysfunctional, lost. And here he is 20 years later. Now here's another story. A little girl got pregnant by her boyfriend. Now, 20 years later, raised great kids, a pastor's wife, doing incredible serving God. No one questions those early years of mistakes. Let's not get too focused on people's mistakes. And not too worried about your own children. Keep praying and keep seeking God. So what I'm trying to say in this parenting part is there's no perfect parent. There's no perfect parenting style where, you know, because you can get over, I know me raising my kids, at first I got over clinical of I need to make sure we do this and do that and do this and do that. You try to be the perfect parent for your kids, and then you realize you're not that perfect. And so you are the perfect parent for your kid. Let's start with that. You right now, you have everything you need to be the perfect parent for your kid. They need you to be authentic, and they need you to be doing your best to follow God. And then in that, watch how God can become the perfect parent within your life for you. I remember traveling to churches, and I had my kids sitting there on the front row, because that's where they sit you when you're a preacher at a church. They sit you on the front row with your kids. And when they're young, they get bored real quick. And I love watching now, because we have a number of little kids who started to crawl and walk, and they always like to get on stage. So I love to watch them put the move on mom and dad, And then watching the parent is, I think we need to shout amen every time we see a parent running up the on stage to grab their kid during worship. You know, everyone go amen, you know. And but I was getting so much into, I want my kids to look good for the crowd, because a lot of times a church crowd will judge the preacher by their kids. And so when your kids are young and they're been in 15 other services that month, you know, because by this time my kids have been in more services than some of you have been in your whole life. And so I don't want them to hate being in church. I want them to enjoy church. So I had to make a decision. And I'd heard someone say it, but I adopted it, and it was, don't correct your kids by what other people think. I had to learn to quit caring about what other people thought to, so my kids would look good in their eyes and think, what's best for my child right now? And sometimes that was to let them be a little bit crazy right before I got to preach. One time I came up here, and there's a piano over here, and Harrison had a scripture verse I wanted him to show off. I said, Harrison, I want you to give your scripture verse you memorized. But me and Chrissy hadn't worked on the handoff yet. You know, we didn't negotiate the right handoff. So she brought him on stage and left him with me. That was here at the prayer center. He gave a scripture verse, and I'd made, now, as soon as you're done, I want you to go down to your mama, okay? Okay. But, you know, when they're young, they get distracted. They forget about those things. So as soon as he gave a scripture verse, I sent him off. Chrissy was not there to grab his hand, because we did not work on our handoff. So he saw freedom. He saw the drums and the piano. And in front of all of you, I was chasing my kid around the piano. Get over here right now. Come here right now. Trying to get him. Finally, I just had to swallow my pride and say, sorry. And we wrestled him to the ground and took him. There's one church service that I was up in Michigan, and I went to the service by myself. I'd worn out. Ava was just a baby. She wasn't feeling well. So we left her and Christy at the hotel, and I took Harrison by myself. This is a suit and tie church. So I walk in with little Harrison, and they have the pews. And so right away, he takes off running. And this is, you know, before service starts. So he's running away from me around the chairs, around the pews, and I'm son, get over here right now, and I'm giving him the eye, and no. Then I try to run at him, and he goes under the pews and pops up the other one, and they know when they got you. They know when you can't get them. And so I'm finally, after about 10 minutes of chasing him around the pews as people are watching the guest speaker try to get their kid, I get him cornered on the front row on the pew, and I look at him, I said, when I get you back to the hotel, let me tell you something. You're going to, and then I look up, and there's three church ladies looking, sitting on the second row, giving me the evil eye. I said, and I'm going to tell you something. I love you very much. Yeah. And that's the service where they had a, I'll just tell a story. They did flags in that church. It was nice. They have a flag where someone would flip the flag, you know. Remember, I'm the guest speaker. And so they had an elderly guy with a little pudgy belly, short guy. And he did the flag. And Harrison said, Daddy, can I do the flag? Because earlier they had the communion set up with little crackers. And Harrison wanted some crackers. He didn't see him as communion. He saw him as crackers. Well, some people take that seriously. Like that's Jesus' body, you know. That, you know, don't take it if you're a child, you know. Well, no, son, you can't have that. So, during the service, during worship, the elderly, pudgy man, really cute guy, had his flag out, and Harrison said, "Can I do a flag?" And he said, "Oh yeah, come on." And he gave him a little flag, and Harrison was beside him doing the flag, and I thought, "Oh, isn't that sweet?" A moment later, he poked the elderly guy in the belly. And the elderly guy moved over about a foot and kept doing the flag unto the Lord. And Harrison did the flag and moved over a foot. And then a few moments later, he'd poke him in the belly again. And this sweet gentleman kept moving over until here I am on the front row, sitting beside the pastor. And I notice Harrison has maneuvered the sweet flag-flowing elderly man all the way over to now my son, my young son, is right next to the communion table. And right in front of the whole congregation, in front of Jesus, in front of everyone, he threw the flag down, turned around, and grabbed a handful of the body of Christ. And you know how it is when they have it in their hand, they know if I can get it in my mouth, it's too late. And the pastor and I both reached for it, and in it went, you know. That was all the same service. Hallelujah. So I'm waiting for some of these young kids to grow up in the church and put on some action for us so I don't feel so alone in my guiltiness. Ava, she's just perfect, so we don't have any problems with her. And I'll ask the pastors, ministers, if you please come and join me over on this side. And Pastor Tim and Gary and Donner, if you'll come too, please, Christy. Just while I have the ministers up here, I know as a church, I want to just say a prayer together for the church, for all of our children. Some of you have children who are grown. Some of you have children who are saved and serving God. Some of you have children you're praying in. So let's just together make a decree and a stand for the family of the prayer center and everyone who has children that we can, there's faith in this, not just God's their father. God's involved in their life, and our prayer holds the authority for God to go in and do things that we can't do anyway. Amen? So let's just, as a church, let's stand for our family and let's say a prayer. You don't have to stand off of it. Father, right now we take a stand by your word that not only our children, but our children's children are heirs and inheritance to your kingdom. So we thank you for every bit of the word, every bit of miracles, healing, finances. But more than anything, we stand for their salvation, that our children, our grandchildren, our heritage is that we'll spend eternity with our family. And we are not looking at any circumstance. It doesn't matter how bad it looks, we decree and we know that we will see them in heaven and spend eternity with our family. So, Father, we thank you now as we speak this. All the authority is needed for you to go in with the Holy Spirit, with angels, to begin to mingle in their life and begin to rearrange things that they will find Christ and serve Christ with their whole heart. And we thank you that this is done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, everybody. Give the parents a big hand clap one more time. Hallelujah. I've been in ministry since I've been 19, and I still have hard times with things like this, being able to go through it. Amen. We're going to start in Romans. I'm just going to do a little teaching here. Chapter 8. I'll tell you, one thing I love is watching these parents at such a young age dedicate their life to God. Amen. And their kids' life to God. I'm just going to share a little bit really quick. We'll start in verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. How many know that verse? So how many have Christ in you right now? Amen. So we have Christ inside of us. That is the nature of God. What we know is the born-again nature, the spirit, the born-again spirit of God, the born-again nature of God inside of us. That means you have Christ in you. It says the body is dead. So we now know that the body is left dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. This is where the righteousness that comes from your new nature brings to life your inward body, your inward spirit. But the body is declared dead. Now just look in verse 17 or verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Say this with me. I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. How many are glad that you are an heir of God? You're a child of God. I just want to make a simple point. Since I wanted to make the baby dedication a special moment for the parents, but also for the church, that raising children and as family, as a church, is as important as you showing up in church too. You know, you are an example to these kids. You're an example to the younger generation. Who's the younger generation? Anyone younger than you is the younger generation. But you're an example. And most times we can learn is from watching somebody else. How does a boy learn how to swing a baseball bat? From a father or a man teaching him how to do it. So you may feel that you're not part of a church, or you may not have a family because you're single, or your children don't come to church with you. You're older. They live in a different city. But I want you and I to agree today that you are part of a family, that we are part of a family, and those who are listening online are part of the family, and that through our experiences, through our example, we can pass on good things to other people younger than us or who are learning from us. In Romans, we see that what makes you part of this family is not just that you're in the prayer center building, but that you are a child of God. So as a child, God looks at you as a child. I want to read one scripture out of Isaiah 43. Verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not," say fear not, "for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. So I would say to you," who's listening and right here, right now, "fear not, because he's with you, you're his. When you pass through the waters," I'm trying to read the King James here. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I gave to Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." So, you're a child of God. I want us to see today, through everything today, no matter what you're going through, he's with you. And there's a beautiful relationship that we have with God that is so much more than just being a child. Being a child by birth is one thing, okay? Maybe some of you have been born and your parents didn't raise you and you were adopted by another family. I was raised by my stepfather. He's my dad, okay? I was birthed by another man who passed away. So being birthed into the family is just the first step, amen? Being raised by your family is a whole different, beautiful concept. And as being children today, I want you to see your relationship with God as being not just being born into his family, but you have a father now that wants to walk with you through everything you go through in your life. Through the waters, through the river, through the fire, he says, "I'm with you, you're going to make it." That's what he just basically said to Israel. Whatever you go through, don't fear, because I'm with you. We're going to make it. And I know that as believers, sometimes we can get extra critical of our life. And in being critical of our life, we can start to disqualify ourselves from being worthy. This is all in the natural mind. But if you look at your life, you can get critical of what you didn't do, what you haven't done. And I should be doing this by now. I should have this by now. And you can start getting so critical that you will start to disqualify yourself from God's hand. But God's hand is with you. I want you to understand, he is with you, and like you are as a parent to your child. If you were the perfect parent, which there's only a few of those, and God's the main one, you don't leave your kids. You walk with your kids. And so there's a beautiful dance that you have to find in this walk. And when you're down and feel defeated, you can always go to God, and what will you find? Encouragement and grace. Grace is His power to overcome. So if you feel down and defeated today, if you go to God, you won't get rejection. You won't get a, I told you so, should have done this. You'll get, the first thing you'll get is a hug. You'll have grace and comfort. If you're falling and struggling with temptation, with sin, and you keep trying to walk out of it, but you keep getting pulled back, and do you know what you get if you come to God and repent? What do you get? Mercy, forgiveness. And come on, let's keep trying. You won't get rejected, okay? And when you start doing good and God starts using you and you go to God, what do you get? Be humble. Give God the glory. Quit taking credit for what you did. Because it's God through you. Amen? So there's this part of relationship where it's a beautiful thing when you're struggling and you're failing. And even if everyone in the world's given up on you, and even yourself, you gave up on yourself. When you go to God's presence and you find His mercy, His grace, His love. See, that tells you, I'm with you through the fire, through the water, through the hard times. There's a relationship that is established at every point of your walk with Him. Not just in your good decisions, but also in your bad decisions. To know that even if I make a bad decision, a wrong decision, give up, get discouraged, give in to things, I have a Father who loves me, who's with me and for me. That doesn't say He's in agreement with actions that are against Him. That's saying that you always have a home that's safe to be with Him. Because some people feel so discouraged, they stay away from church. They stay away from God because they say, when I do this thing, then I can go to God. What God wants to tell you is while you're going through this stuff, I want to be here with you and walk with you through it. You don't have to do it alone. He's not waiting on the finish line for you to cross it to give you a high five. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your grace. He wants to be there when you fail. He wants to be all things to you till you get to the finish line, which I think we'll discover there's no real finish line, you know. That He wants to be with you every step of your life. And if you find yourself in a mess that you made, in a mess that the devil made, in a mess that someone else made, it doesn't matter. He's still there with you. Amen? His grace, His mercy, His love. He's a Father that never gives up on you. He doesn't go faster than you want to go. You might say, I'm going too slow. God will say, no, you're not. Tim always drives me crazy when he says, you're never late. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're late if you're late for church. You're late, you know. But you're always on time. And I'm starting to get it now that with God, you're never late. You may come to church thinking, I should have done this last week. I was going to fast. I was going to pray. I was going to do this step. And you felt your flesh beat you up and you gave into it. Well, you come to church, you come to God. You need to come to God in His presence boldly every time. I'm about to get encouragement. I'm about to get love. I'm about to get empowered. So even though I didn't make it last week, I'm going to make it next week. Because He's your strength. Amen? And if you stumble through that, guess what you get next week if you come back to Him? He's not waiting on the finish line for you to be perfect before He jumps in with you. The point of being born again is His Spirit came into you. He pulled out the nature of Adam, put in the Spirit of God. Now producing righteousness, bring into life your inner man, your spiritual body. And now He is in there with you, in your trials, in your troubles, in your mistakes, in every situation. He's right there with us. Amen. And He will not reject you. You can reject Him, but don't reject Him. If you had the worst week, the worst failing week of your life, the first place you need to go is right to Him. Because you will experience love, mercy, grace, strength to keep going. Amen. One of the dangerous messages we hear today is get God to accept your lifestyle. That's not going to God. Going to God is, I'm trying to live how the Word promises I can live, but I'm not meeting the mark yet. And He will say, let's keep going. Let's not quit. You can do this. That's what we'll hear from God every time. Amen. Well, why don't we stand and close in prayer today? Hallelujah. How many know it's a good thing to make the service about the babies? Amen. Amen. And about the parents. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for being so kind to us and wonderful to us. We thank You for the children that were dedicated and the families that dedicated themselves to serving You. We give You all the glory, all the praise for every good work that's in our future. And thank You for being our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.